The title of this podcast is How to Live Your Faith in Everyday Life. Can you ever have too much faith? Are there different types of faith? I think of my life as one in which I have experienced strong, weak, wavering faith, doubt, and all the in-betweens. Faith, in my own words, is believing something without seeing it. You know it is what it is. So, with that definition, I believe everyone has faith on many levels at different periods in their lives. You can have faith in something, in someone, or about something. For example, many people will walk into a building without considering whether the structure will collapse, or get on a plane and believe that the plane will not fall out of the sky, or think that a loved one will not murder them in their sleep. You trust that you will wake up in the morning safe and sound. Or the food we eat, we trust that our water and food are not poisoned and are safe for consumption. Now, do these things happen to some people? Planes fall out of the sky, food sometimes becomes contaminated, or a family member has harmed a loved one? Unfortunately, they do. However, for the most part, we do not walk around in fear. And if you do, please continue to listen to replace that fear with faith. But first, I must introduce myself. Hi, and welcome to SUP, which stands for Seek, Understanding, and Peace. My name is Katie Girl, and I'm happy you're here with me on this day today. Why seek peace? We seek peace because peace gives us contentment. Peace helps us to enjoy the right now. Peace allows us to focus better, gives us patience, and helps improve all areas of our lives. Therefore, some choose things that will give them temporary peace, but in the end reap devastating results like drug addiction, alcohol abuse, and unhealthy relationships. I created the ABCs of SUP, Seek Understanding and Peace, because sometimes we don't realize that our minds, body, and spirits are searching and seeking to lead us to peace. I will occasionally add my two cents in, and as promised, here we go. This week we are on the letter F for faith. I can break down our faith in even simpler terms. Remember, faith is believing something will or will not happen without you needing any evidence. You just know that it is so, or assume that it is so. Like sitting in a chair, trusting that it will not break. Turning on the light switch, knowing that the lights will come on. Or getting in your car and turning the ignition and the car starting. In Hebrews 11:1, the Bible defines faith as an assurance about things that we cannot see. We just believe that it will happen. Or the Easy English Version says that if we believe in God, we can be entirely sure about things. We will be sure about things that we hope for. We will be sure about things that we cannot see. The last time I spoke about faith, I talked about my struggles and some biblical examples of tremendous demonstrations of faith. I will provide the link on my blog. What I have noticed in my faith journey is my faith has become stronger. The more I use it, it's solid. I realize that I was using faith all along. I was just using it in the wrong area. So think about it. It is much easier to believe in someone if you know them or have a relationship with them. I would trust my earthly daddy with my life. I would not trust the person up the street and around the corner from me with my life because I don't know them. I don't know them on any level. So who are we putting our faith in? I have a relationship with God. I do not need to go through anyone to have a one-on-one conversation with Him. I believe that God says He is who He is and will do what He says He will do. The Word says that God is not a man that He would lie, nor does He change His mind. And this is in Numbers chapter 23. To trust a person, for instance, you would have to get to know them personally to some degree. To understand who faith is, you must read his word, because faith is God. Some scriptures I will share. The scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, is actually one of my favorite foundational scriptures. It's one of them scriptures that I must have said 100 times decades ago. I digested this scripture so passionately because we were living in another country. I was on foreign soil and I could no longer depend on my mother and father. So I turned to God and developed a personal relationship with him. And this is where I began my journey of trusting and believing in him. Now, let me put a pin here. I want y'all to know that trusting and believing in God has nothing to do with me being perfect and doing everything right. I have messed up. I have done and said things that I have regretted. I'm not proud of. I have stumbled. I have failed, rolled down a hill, got back up. But even in all that, I realized that God, regardless of where I was in life, was always faithful. Okay, so I'm back on track. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 5 is one of my favorite scriptures. And this is what it says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him or submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He will make your life right. He will make your road that's crooked, he'll make it straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bone. I learned that God wants us to have a childlike faith in him, meaning to believe and just trust the process. Stop always trying to figure it out. You won't. God says that our thoughts are not his and our ways are not his ways. Thank God. You have faith in something and believe it is coming from this area, and God turns around and blesses you from a whole different area, one you didn't even consider. That's God letting us know that he's the one that's in control, that we are to give our faith over to him. And when we do, he'll take care of it. Now, our timing may not be his timing, but it's always the right time. God tells us to trust, which means believing in the ability, truth, or strength of something. He does not ask us to be foolish or ignorant. That is why we are to always ask him for his wisdom and discernment in every matter. So what are the different types of faith? I found an article, y'all know me, and so I'm going to share what they said because I liked it. And of course, I will always have whatever I talk about as far as links posted on my blog. A person is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. A Christian is sanctified or set apart or declared by faith in Acts 26 and 18. Faith that serves others is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. And a Christ follower lives and walks by faith every day from Hebrews 3 and 10. So there are several types. Well, there's really a lot of faith, different types of faith, but I'm just going to hone in on just a few. One of them is called dead faith, and it is just that, dead faith. James informs us that faith without works is dead. James 2 and 17, that is. In other words, if your faith is real, you will produce fruit. What kind of fruit is that? Well, it's not apples, oranges, and bananas. We wish it was that simple, but it is not. Usually, when you hear the word fruit connected with the word, God is talking about love and joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And these are found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. These are the fruits of the Spirit. So some say that if you are demonstrating your faith, that means that you are producing these positive fruits in your life. And that makes sense. I mean, why would you have hate and murder in your heart? Well, I guess you are demonstrating a faith, a type of faith, but we're talking about God's faith, okay? So, well, speaking of that, the next one is called demonic faith. Now, James also teaches that even the demons believe and shudder at the name of Jesus. And that is a type of head faith. Like, yeah, I know it is true without a doubt. Not going to do anything about it. Not going to follow God. And I know that Jesus died and rose from the dead. However, I'm going to still do what I'm going to do. The demons have the right theology, but the wrong intention. They're not trying to serve God in any shape, form, or fashion. They're just aware that He is real. The next one is called vain faith. Not everyone who says that Jesus is Lord of their lives will enter the kingdom of heaven on the day of His return. Only those who actually do the will of God will be permitted entry. So that's more like us. That's more like some people who say, I believe that there's a God and I'm doing the work, but they're actually not doing the work. They're just going through religious acts. And you know, there's something else that really resonated with me is this. Yes, I can be nice to people on the outside and do things for people, and man may see what I am doing, but also God knows what we're doing too, and so He weighs our motives. And so yes, you may have this person who gives millions of dollars, or this person who gets up every Saturday and help the homeless, but if their motives aren't correct, God weighs those as well. And so that is called vain faith. You're doing it, but you're just doing it for show. You don't really have your heartbeat in it. And that's coming from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. The other one is called saving faith. John chapter 3, verse 16. I think many of us know this one. It's probably one of the first scriptures that we all learned as a child. That God loves every one of us, that He sent His only Son to live among us, and whoever believes on Jesus will have eternal life. Additionally, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 provides us with some additional details, that we are saved by grace through faith. Salvation is a gift. You're not saved because of anything you have done. Well, let me rephrase that. We are not saved by anything we have done, ever. Because if it were, I'd get to working right now, way harder. But my point is, Jesus has already went to the cross for us. And so we are saved by God's grace. Now, what is the benefit, you say, of having God-like faith or having faith in God? Well, it's for us. It's for us to be able to live here in peace and in harmony with ourselves and with each other. And so the benefit is it helps us. You know, God already got His stuff. It helps us. It benefits us. It benefits our life. It benefits our health. It benefits our wealth. But also, more importantly, to have faith in God saves us from the lake of fire. To have faith in God means that we will one day see Him. So faith have a lot of compartments. And the last important faith that we just talked about was saving faith. The next part I want to talk about is, what are some spiritual disciplines, or what are some things that we can do to strengthen our faith? I know just off the top of my head that especially when I am believing God for something particular, that it is very, very important that I protect what I listen to and I protect what comes out of my mouth specifically. If I am believing God for healing, then I'm not going to hang around someone who is always talking about death and destruction. Now, it's not like, oh my God, the sky is falling. You know, it's never that obvious, usually, when someone when your faith is being weakened. It's always very subtle. You could have that person in your life that you could say, how are you doing? And they'll always tell you not good, or if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. You know, them kind of people. If the person is speaking against what you are believing in, then I would limit my contact with them, because whether you understand it or not, that is one of the ways that can quickly poison your faith or weaken your faith when you are needing it to be built up and needing it to be protected. If you are believing God that you no longer have cancer in your body, or that the surgery is going to go well, or that your child is going to get over this cold, you can't listen to people who are saying the opposite. And that's just the truth. And I don't care who it is, if it's a close member, of your family, you really can't. So you have to be aware that if you are believing, or when you are believing God for something, if someone is saying the direct opposite of what you're believing for, then you're going to have to find ways to protect yourself, to protect your faith. Some of the things you can do is you can get some scriptures and just start saying the scriptures over and over again, because unfortunately, not just others can get in your head, you can get in your head as well. And so when you're saying these scriptures over and over again, you know, by his stripes I'm healed, you know, God is my God of Jehovah Rapha, he is my healer, and you're saying those over and over in your mind, then what you're doing is you are allowing yourself to hear you say those things. And that's one beautiful way of building your strength up, of building your faith up. And so yes, it's very important on who you are around when you are trying to build your faith for or in something. If you are trying to get out of debt, you know, you don't want to hang around someone who's saying, you know, only the strong survive, or the poor, the rich get richer. You don't want to hear stuff like that. That's not going to add to your faith. You have to understand that when God says, above all, I want for you to be wealthy and be healthy, and he means that. He wants us to be wealthy. He doesn't want us to be lacking. Because if we're lacking, then we're just concentrating on what we're lacking in. We're not even talking about the other stuff, but giving him joy, or worshiping him and sharing the goodness of him. We're trying to survive. And so he wants us to have these things. He wants us to have the desires of our heart, but we have to protect what comes in and what goes out. So what we listen to, who we listen to, and what we say. I found this article, and it's entitled Critical Spiritual Discipline. And basically, this article is just saying these are some things that you can do to protect your faith. One of the things is read your Bible. That is one of the biggest faith builders I know as well, because once you start reading God's word is like living, it's like life. And as you're reading, it fills you up, it gives you energy, it gives you hope, it encourages you, it gives you that strength that you need, that boldness that you need. And so just finding one or two scriptures that just really resonate with you, and then start saying it over and over again, is a start. Another thing is just taking a scripture a day, or taking a chapter a day and purposing to read. What I do is I learn better when I read And when I write something down, I have to actually write it down. If I write it down, I can retain it better. And so that's what I do with my Bible reading. I read and then I write down. And I don't do a whole lot because I just don't. And at one sitting, I don't do a whole lot. But I do it consistently. I do it every day. And each day and each time I do it, my faith is building. Another thing that you can do to protect and build your faith is Bible study. If you belong to a church, which I hope you do, or if you're listening to on TV, they have a lot of programs on TV. I don't watch them because I have a church home that I go to and that I get my spiritual food from. And I go to Bible study every week. And I go to church worship service every week. And that helps build my faith. Next is I have scriptures that I know and that it's on the inside of me. So I don't need the Bible to read them or to know them. I just know them. That God shall supply all of my needs so that if I'm ever lacking or in any want, or even if I'm not, I can share that scripture with someone who is or who's struggling in that area, and I can minister to them. Praying also helps build your faith. Fellowshipping with other believers and just hanging around with other people who are saying the same things you are is a really big one. Because if you are on this path over here and then you got friends or people that you know that is not on your path, that is, you know, they're still doing things that are in the world that you don't particularly agree with, and then you're trying to still run with them, but yet believe something over here that God is telling you, you pretty soon you're going to have to choose, because, you know, God does say that he doesn't want us lukewarm. He doesn't want us on the fence. He doesn't want us going yes, then no, then yes, or I don't know. We either decide. We're either going to be on one side or we're going to be on the other and commit fully to it. Now, you're going to be in the world, commit to it. No, I don't encourage you to do that, but you do understand what I'm saying. You have to make a decision and then just stand by it. Will it be easy? It absolutely will not be. But just like anything, when you keep using it over and over again, you keep using a muscle over and over again, and then it gets easier and easier. Okay, so summing it up, you know, last week we talked about E for envy, and when I summed up some things, I was reading it and I'm like, well, this kind of applies to today. So I'm going to kind of end it like I did last week. I said, first, ask God to give you wisdom concerning the people that comes into your life and the ones that already are. And this is now dealing with your faith walk, because eventually, if you start off, you know, God already gives us a measure of faith. Okay. And so it is our responsibility to grow it. And so that's what we do. We want to grow our faith, have great amount of faith. And so the first thing is the people that you surround yourself with, the people that are in your life, not just your private life, but also your work environment. I don't know how that looks for some of y'all. I'm praying for some of y'all, because I know it can be kind of rough sometimes. And sometimes you really don't have a choice. But if it's something that you know that is really, really grieving you, and you go to work and you are a totally different person, then it's time that you start asking God to give you wisdom with discernment on another way to make money. Just ask Him. And then just wait for the answer. He'll give it to you. He'll speak it to you. It'll be so subtle, but just be expecting an answer. And then the next thing is listen to yourself. That is the Holy Spirit telling you when something is off with a person, or something is off in your environment, or something that's not going to add on to your faith life. You may need to take a closer look and just be more cautious. Some people are just not meant to be in your life forever. It's okay. Some people are seasonal. That's okay. So with that, I'm going to close out all the links. Well, I only had like a couple of links, but I had a lot of scriptures. So I'll post that all in the blog. I really hope you all have gotten something from this. If you have any questions or comments or things that you just want to share, your experience or anything, please don't hesitate to share it with us. We would love to hear it. So thank you for being here with me on this day today. See you next time. Grace and peace.